Hey, everybody, this is KSPN Rolled Spine Radio, the backbone of your morning commute. I'm Mac in the Morning, helping you get out the door. And in the morning traffic.
The following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
One more time.
And we're taking your requests all morning. Our first track is, or some bullshit okay. Like that. Oh, I love old stupid radio bullshit. Hi, everybody. Welcome to One Song Each. I'm Illegal Machine, and with me is...
Diablo Frank.
Mr. Fix-It.
And my song, Bored, by the Deftones, off of their debut album from 1995, Adrenaline. I think it was the second single off their debut album. It's the first track on the album. And I picked this song because it reminds me of two things. One, it was my first professional job. And two, it was the first online streaming service where I heard this song. So I was more familiar with Deftones' second album, Around the Fur, and third album, White Pony, which was a gigantic mega. That's probably their most popular album to date was White Pony. It had Change on it, which was their probably their biggest hit. And I'd never heard Adrenaline before. I'd never heard this album. And it is now probably my favorite album of all their albums. And I'd never heard this song specifically because I'd never heard the album.
It was released in 1995 by Maverick Records, which I think was Madonna's boutique label. Wasn't a big hit. Didn't sell that great when it first came out. Apparently the band had been doing those songs for years and they didn't think about trying to make any improvements on the songs. They just played them real fast with not so great equipment from what I can read. But the guys toured 2 years straight, built up an audience on their touring. And the fact that they weren't hacking it out, they obviously were passionate about the material. Did better with their subsequent albums. This was the second single after Seven Words.
Oh, Seven Words is a freaking awesome song. Adrenaline from front to back is awesome. If you like alternative metal, legendary album. I was working for, and I don't know if I should name these companies, the massive communications conglomerate. I cannot remember for the life of me what was one of the very first streaming radio services. I want to say, I don't think it was the one that Mark Cuban was involved with. Do you guys remember in those super, super early internet radio stations? Super early. Somebody try and name some internet radio star. Again, I don't think it was the one Mark Cuban did that he got rich off of. AOL ended up buying it and ruining it or some shit like that. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
Not an uncommon circumstance.
But I didn't have any music to listen to at this horrible, horrible job. And my boss was a lunatic. So this was my first real, real professional job. And it became an issue because I was still in school. And I took the job through a temp agency. I got this job. And I took it thinking that I was almost about to graduate. And it turns out my degree plan was a little bit fucked up. And I actually had like a whole other semester of credits I needed to get, right? Because I thought I was on a graduate early track and I wasn't. Anyway, it's a whole mess of shit. I start this job. I discovered this not too long after I started working there. I'm like, oh shit, I don't know if I can keep, I can't work this job on another full load of classes. It was supposed to be, I was working like 3 days a week and then I was going to become full time. Well, I can't become full time if it turns out I've got a whole other semester of classes left. So I was already sort of like, man, I'm going to have to eventually break it to these people that I can't, either I need to continue working part time or whatever. My boss was one of those people who got their job because they just worked there a long time. They weren't necessarily qualified. It was a very skilled position she was in, but she didn't have the education or qualifications to be in the position. She'd just been there long enough that I guess she could fake it.
Just promoted up.
And the problem was that apparently the person I was replacing had quit that job. She had graduated and decided, you know what, engineering's more lucrative. So she went into engineering. So she quit to go to engineering, go back to school to go to engineering school. Turns out this woman did everything. And since she was gone, my new boss had no fucking clue what to do, was completely lost. And okay, this was a communication company. We worked for their live music venue. So you had a lot of really eccentric people who would deal with bands and bookings for venues and stuff like that. So they're entertainment industry people, not necessarily your average HR environment. They would be out at concerts all night and then come in the next day after hanging out with bands and doing questionable things. So the office environment was really kind of strange. You'd walk in and there'd be people sleeping on the couches because they'd been out the night before and they got to be at work and they didn't have time to go home. So they just came to the office and slept on the couch and woke up. Very, very strange for a first job, right? But kind of understandable. But that means she was very, I guess the term I've heard people refer to it as crunchy, very laissez-faire. And for the position she was in, this was not a good thing. I would be there and this is my first job and I'm like desperate for some sort of training that she can't give me. And she would pop into my cubicle and go, I have to go to yoga, and would just walk off. And I'd be like, I thought we had deadline. No deadline, just student in school. And you go to yoga and I'm drowning here. Basically, I would spend all day at my desk just trying to teach myself how to do shit. And then in the meantime, I would draw on post-it notes and listen to music. I had some headphones. I wasn't going to pop CDs of music in, and I couldn't burn to my desktop because that wasn't even quite a thing at company computers yet, where just every computer came with disk burners and shit like that. So I had just decided to go to the URL for whatever this fucking internet service is that I can't remember, and I started just listening to music. And one of the first songs that came on when I started listening was Bored by the Deftones. And I was like, this could not be more of a perfect song for where I am in my life right now. Like, I was sitting in this place completely just, what am I doing here? I shouldn't be here. I can't really be here because I have to get back to my schoolwork. I got to get back to focusing on classes and graduating anyway. I'm not getting paid shit. I got a boss who doesn't care. And I'm not really getting any real professional training from doing this to further me in my career. So what am I doing here? And it was just the monotony of that song, of that jigga jigga jing jing jing, jigga jigga jing jing jing, pounding in my head over and over and over again. And I'm like, this is the most apropos song. It's a great song. And it was just completely where I was in my headspace. And a song I had never heard from a band I knew and liked came on and was like, oh my gosh. Or here's one of the most amazing things about this place. All right. So I've already described to you some of the atmosphere. There was one dude there who part-time booked venues, but at nights fought MMA. And he would come in, beat to hell. This dude came into the office one day and couldn't walk and had like black eyes because he'd gotten knocked the fuck out the night before. And somebody turned his lights off the night before, and then he stumbles into work. And I'm just like, this place is really, really bizarre.
Monday mornings, all I could do was think about next week.
So I had asked, this doesn't really have anything to do with the song, but it puts you in my mindset. The first couple weeks I worked there, I was like super formal dressed. Until you see everybody's in cutoff jeans. Their jeans are all frayed. They're wearing flip-flops and sandals and t-shirts every day. And I'm there like a slacks and a button-down shirt. I'm like, okay, this is obviously not right. So, and I had asked her, my boss before I started working there, I'm like, what's the dress code? She's like, there's no dress code. You'll see. Look around the office. You know, we're super casual here. It's not really that big a deal because we work weird hours. So I'm like, all right. After a couple weeks, I started loosening up. I wear jeans and a polo or jeans and a button-down, but it wouldn't be tucked in, you know, whatever. And then one day I was like, man, dude, I had noticed that everybody was wearing sandals. I'm like, psh, man, I'm wearing flip-flops tomorrow. So I wore jeans and a button-down, sleeves rolled up, and some flip-flops. And I'm in there, and because I'm super paranoid, I brought shoes just in case. I'm like, just in case somebody looks at me weird, I can put some shoes on. I'm in my boss's office, and we're talking. And this was, I think it was around the time when she ditched me for yoga in the middle of this lost employee not knowing what the hell I'm doing, and she left for yoga. She is talking to me, and she was like, we're going over some stuff. She starts talking to me, and then she sort of like stops. Are you wearing flip-flops? Like, are you wearing sandals? And I was like, yeah, is it a problem? And she was like, you're in an office, and I can't believe that you would wear flip-flops. And at this point, I'm like, I'm gonna quit this job. This is it. This is the last straw. I've put it with so much shit, and this is what you're taking issue with, is the flip-flops, that everybody in the office is wearing flip-flops right now? Anyway, I was like, I'm sorry. You know, I wasn't really sure. Maybe I just wasn't super clear on what the and I was like, you know what? It's no big deal. I brought shoes because I wasn't sure. Even though I thought that I'd, you know, seen, I thought I had the lay of the land here. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I brought socks and shoes down in my car. I'll get them on. It's no big deal. She's like, okay. So then we start talking about some more stuff that needs to get done. And then she stops the conversation and goes, I just don't see how you could ever think that it was right to wear sandals into an office. And I'm thinking to myself, there was a hungover dude on the couch in the lobby when I got here. And I'm like, this place is beyond fuckzord. I'm tapping out. And I just remember I go downstairs to put my shoes on or whatever. And I was just like, I can't handle it. And I can't remember if this was the time or it was like shortly after this, like another day when she did something else ridiculous. But I went downstairs and I called my mom, which is the most non-adult thing you could do. I don't know. I had to call somebody to figure out what the fuck was going on. I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, I don't want to work here anymore. And I tell her what happened. And she's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. She was like, do you have anything in your desk that you need? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she was like, do you have anything in your desk you need? You got your keys on you? You got your wallet? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, leave. And I'm like, excuse me? And I'm like, you're supposed to be my pillar of, you know,
responsibility.
And she's like, get in your car and leave and don't go back. And she's like, you don't need to give them any explanation. She's like, I think you've, you know, given them all. Anyway, long story short, I did not leave.
Oh, that story would have been epic if you did.
I remember him telling you that story and being disappointed in it incorrectly.
What I did is I walked a block over to the headhunter's office and I requested an audience with them and told them I'm not going back there. I'm not working there anymore. I'm sorry. You can break it to them. I quit. And they're like, I think you need to go back over there and talk to her and all this stuff. So I had to go over there and talk to her. And I was just like, look, she's like, do you have something you want to say to me? And her head was going to explode, like super furious. And I was just like, yeah, you know what? I got more classes I got to take. So I think, I just don't think I can work in here. Like, I didn't call her out on the sandal thing or the yoga thing.
I think it was implied, however.
I was just like, yeah, you know what? It's not working out. I think I got to get back to school. I got more credits I got to take. Sorry. And it was just like, that was it.
Did you ever train her to do her job?
No. And what's funny is that she was so in over her head, she paid, I think, a contractor rate to have the girl that had left to go to engineering school to come back and help for a little bit and try and train me, quote unquote, aka her. Like, it was, dude, it was a disaster. And I'm like, and I've worked at some jacked up places since then, but none as that completely lost. Like, it was like a two-person job and half of the people were her, was just completely in over their head. It was amazing. It was just absolutely spectacular. And the one thing that will always put me back in that freaking cubicle is that song by the Deftones. And not in a bad way, but in a relief that I got out of there and I didn't keep going every day and just like
grind
just,
it out.
I never look back like, oh, I really regret the way if anything, I regret that I stayed too long and wasted too much time there, or that I didn't leave in a more spectacular fashion, because it's like one of those jobs. I was there so short, like it doesn't show up on resumes. It'll never, you know what I mean? I never left temp status. It was a gut check for a first professional job, I gotta be honest with you. But when I hadn't even got my degree yet, and I'm like, whoa, I'm like 9/10 of the way to the degree for this job that I can't stand already. I'm like, oh, this isn't a good start. Anyway, it ended up working out. And one day I want to like see her again and be like, yeah, you know what? Oh, you got some open toe shoes on or something like that? And just like go.
Just
like,
fucking land her.
Are you freaking kidding me, dude? Like, I'm telling you, I was the most ridiculous thing. I mean, to this day, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever had anybody say to me in an office. Because it's one of those things you think, yo, you know, I got older, I got hindsight. No. Still makes no sense.
It's probably because you were the young guy in the office, weren't you?
Yeah, he was the subordinate.
Were you the youngest guy in the office?
No, I mean, there were a lot of young people there. All right, there. Yeah, I mean,
he was the one who worked under her. He was the one person she had power over. And I think she vented all of her frustration on him, even though she herself was also a total fuck off, fuck up.
I mean, maybe she had a foot thing, dude.
I think she probably had a foot thing, too.
Maybe she had a foot thing. I don't know. All I know is I walked past a dude who was passed out and a guy who had literally gotten his lights turned out the night before. And it was walking with a limp and his arm was in a sling. But you're ripping on me for a pair of sandals. It was the most. Oh, my God. What a freaking just psych ward that was. It was insane.
My feet are so sweaty and smelly.
Here's why. Your feet have more sweat glands than any other part of your body. They need super drying Odor Eaters foot powder. Look, you'd need 25 cans of talc to match the drying strength of just one Odor Eaters powder. It can absorb 25 times more wetness.
Wow, it even keeps my feet dry. And no more smell.
Odor Eaters foot powder from the makers of Odor Eaters insoles with the world's most powerful odor destroyer.
Do you remember the best times we ever had? They always happen in the summertime. So dive into these sunny days. We can laugh, we can play, we can make lots of memories. At Schlitterbahn, it's the hottest, coolest time in Texas. We're going to Schlitterbahn. Time in Texas, we're going to Schlitterbahn. There's nothing like that.
Hi, it's Brad Benson from Brad Benson Hyundai in South Brunswick, New Jersey. You know, recently I bought the old Giant Stadium goalposts and I erected them in our parking lot. And I've been jokingly calling them our 40-foot erection. Now, plenty of people think it's funny, but I've also gotten some complaints. And the complaints do concern me. So I want to know, what do you think? Have I crossed a line, or are people just too darn politically correct these days?
Call Brad at 1-888-60-BENSON.
And tell us what you think. We'll take some of your messages and maybe put them in our next radio spot.
That's 1-888-60-BENSON.
Give us a call, give us your opinion, and who knows, you just may end up on the radio.
Brad wants your opinion, and he'll also let you put no money down on any new Hyundai in stock, and he'll make your payments for a whole year, or take 30% off the posted dealer price. Visit Brad Benson Hyundai on Route 1 in South Brunswick or at bradbensonhyundai.com. All new Hyundais come with a Hyundai Assurance Plan, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, America's best warranty.
Oh, and this just in. Now through Saturday, we'll make your payments for a whole year and send you home with a check for $1,500. Now, I think I know your opinion on that.
KTBZ, Lake Jackson, Houston.
Recently purchased by Nationwide Communications for a string of beads, some beet corn, and a handful of puka shells. This is KTBZ.
Houston's modern rock.
This is 107.5 The Buzz. What the hell is this? 107.5 The Buzz.
Wake up, sleepyheads.
It's party time! Yeah, this is the old Nooster coming at you right here on this fine, fine Rocktober morning. It's the sweeping sensation that's sweeping the nation, and I'm going to do it to you right here, right now. Wow!
Since we're going to stay on somewhat of a work theme, I had already mentioned this to Mac earlier, and he thought it was funny. So I'm going to play a song that reminds me of my first job and my experience there. My one song is Guy, Let's Chill. Okay, so I know that was a weird song to pick.
Let's Chill was by the R&B band Guy. From the album The Future. It was released in 1991. Reached number 41 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number 10 on the Hot Dance Singles chart, and number 3 on the R&B Hip Hop chart.
So that was my first job I got at a restaurant. I won't name the names. I was super excited. An older friend of mine had got me a job where he worked. In school, they were a grade above me. Actually, 2 grades above me. So everyone I worked with were all older than me. I was the youngest one there. I walked in there really scared. This was the year that I went from Mama's Boy to Hell on Wheels all in that 1 year. I had to work while I was in school, so that was one of the conditions. So my mom told me to get a job, and so we work our regular shift at this restaurant. I'm having fun, and at the end of the day, we would close the curtains and they would play music and people would start drinking, and we would basically just throw a party inside this restaurant. And this is a chain restaurant. This is not like a restaurant you would expect it from. It's a chain restaurant. And I remember thinking like, oh my god, this is what we... And so we would just goof the fuck off all night long while we were cleaning, getting ready for the next day. And then sometimes if the party was good, like on a weekend, we would take it over to somebody else's house. Because again, there was older people there, and then there was 20-year-olds, and then there was us who were way, way young. They would buy the alcohol. We would go party with them. I'd never really drank up to that point. Maybe like a sip of drink, maybe one drink at all. And this song reminds me of a night that we threw a party. It was going good. One of my friends there was the one that would always get me right home. They said, hey, we're gonna go to this party. I'm like, all right, let's go. My buddy was, you know, he's like, I got your back. We'll tell your mom you're staying with me. So okay, so I told my mom, hey, I'm staying at so-and-so's place. She's like, all right. We go to this house. There was several other fast food restaurants around us, and we became friends with them because we would trade food with them sometimes. So a bunch of them went to the party. So it's at this girl's house whose parents are out of town. We're having a good time, and that was the first time I was introduced to Mad Dog 2020, which was brutal, and I will always remember.
I don't understand why people are so down on Mad Dog. My brother used to be like, oh, Mad Dog rule. He's, you know, like he would oversell it. It's like, you know, like the best thing.
Right. Oh, dude, that shit was brutal.
But it's a malt beverage, and these days, what we used to call wine coolers are all malt beverages as well. So,
but dude, like, it came in that square bottle.
Yeah, the great. It looked like a flask. It looks cool.
You could get into bitch size,
dude, you realize,
and then beast.
You realize the gas station across the street has a whole bottom row of MD 2020.
Oh, dude, that thing is eternal. It's a rite of passage.
They're probably still from the same year. It's the same one.
It is a rite of passage to get drunk on Mad Dog 2020.
But what I don't understand, though, is it's not like it's vodka. It's not like you're getting a giant bottle of vodka like I did in my teens where really be...
But, dude,
like,
if you get the beast, big one, you are getting fucked up.
Well, but it's really tasty. For years, I was afraid of Mad Dog because of its reputation. When I finally tried some, it's like, this is actually pretty good. It tastes like bitch beer. I could have been drinking this for years.
Is that your new nickname, Frank? Mad Dog? We start calling you Mad Dog?
Mad Dog 2020.
I'm pretty sure my new nickname is bitch beer, either.
New nickname?
So hold on.
It's funny,
hold on.
I had to explain that term to my girlfriend because she's like, what is this bitch beer? And once I explained, it's like, it kind of makes sense.
I love the accent.
I didn't know you were dating Balky Baltakimus from Perfect Strangers.
Oh, shit. I think it came up in context to Zima being used in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recently. So.
Yeah, true. Actually got me kind of thirsting for a Zima.
Don't. I drank a Zima recently. It's not good.
I don't remember.
I'm sure it was fine in this day, but our beer technology is far in advance of Zima now.
You didn't do it right. You didn't do it right because you didn't put a Jolly Rancher in it.
You have a point.
That's the way you're supposed to drink Zima.
I'm aware of this.
The Jolly Rancher,
yes.
Dude. That's just old school. Anyway, so we go to this party. I'm but a wee lad, terrified of the world, drinking Mad Dog 2020 like an idiot, and I'm chugging that shit too. I remember I was like, this is so delicious because it's strawberry banana. What could ever go wrong with this? One of my coworkers there, she's an older girl, and we're sitting there and we're all dancing, just playing around, and the party starts winding down. And I remember this song was playing, and she walks up to me and she goes, let's go chill. And I'm like, okay. I don't know what that means, but okay. I start noticing, like, my buddy's passed out on the floor. People are sleeping on the couch. I'm young. I'm a kid. She walks me to her bedroom, puts on the CD, hits repeat, and starts... Every time I hear the song, I remember that anticipation like that. Like, I remember being freaked out and excited all at the same time. Like,
this is only a test.
And I'm so fucking terrified at the same time. So I remember the song playing, and I'm not going to go into detail.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Once Each. I'm not so sure we can air this one. Can we air this? Can we do this?
A statute of...
Say how it was. Several times, some of your coworkers are going to... Probably not.
No. She said, let's chill. We went.
This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system.
But it was so cool.
The broadcasters in your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you've just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions.
We just start playing the Let's Chill sample.
This station serves the Northeast Illinois area.
I just kept thinking, this is cool.
This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system.
You can play the song in between, and then people can insinuate.
Right.
Because of the implication.
I just remember, every time I hear this song, I always remember that job, because I remember thinking, I hope work is like this forever, because this is fucking awesome. I get paid to come and hang out all day with friends.
You did your level best for quite a far ways into your life.
True. And then, it's not really like that. Well, it can still be kind of like that.
I don't know. Everywhere I've worked, it's happening with somebody. So I don't know. I think that's just inherently what work is. You're around these people all day long. You probably spend as much time with them as you do your real families. And then these weird relationships happen.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Mr. Fix-It has had many of those strange relationships with many female coworkers.
I mean, I think that's why it's a big time. That's why we end up having training sessions and shit like that. I mean, this is a real problem, I guess.
Well, but but back then, I don't think it was seen as a problem back then, but it was just crazy. Like, that was so crazy back then. And then, like, I remember seeing these people, especially the older people, thinking, like, wow, you work here and you're how old? Like, I remember thinking that was really strange because we didn't get paid shit. I don't know how they made it. But I think those people did it more because, you know, they liked the environment. The job wasn't stressful. I remember most of the people just fucking would quit 1 week and then, like, 2 weeks later, they came back. Like, it was not a big deal. It was just really strange. And then we used to do stuff as, like, they would hide. We had an ice machine in the back. You would walk to the ice machine, open it to get ice to fill up the machines in the front, and you would see all these bottles buried in the ice for the night, for that night. Because these people pre-gamed big time. About an hour before closing time, you'd see people going to the back constantly, like, where are they going? With their little cups. And then right before closing, people are kind of stumbling around. I'm like, oh. So, yeah, it was so much fun, though. So, that was my work experience, first time job.
There is a part of me, especially maybe a little later in life yet to come, where I'd like to pull Kevin Spacey in American Beauty, where you just, like, chuck it all and go work at some burger place and completely be a fuck up.
Oh, that was... it's weird
because... I've never done that. In all my jobs, I was Johnny Responsible, do the right thing kind of dude. And in retrospect, I regret a lot of the times where I was a stand-up guy when I should have just fucked off.
There's a certain freedom to it because it's not crucial for you to work at that time period. It's more like you're just being introduced into what work is. It's fun because, I mean, all of my jobs up to when I got a real career were all pretty much just fuck-off jobs. Like, you could quit at any moment. I can't think of any job, especially any job in the restaurant industry, was always just the same people. We would just all party together. Now, once you got into, like, where I'm my career now, where it's like we would go party, but people had money. So the partying just was more extended and more expensive. But back then, it was just cool because I remember everybody, like, well, how much did you make in tips? And then we'd put all our money together. Okay, what can we buy? And we'd buy, like, the cheapest liquor. Like, that's Mad Dog 2020. We'd buy as much as we could. Or they'd buy that fucking Strawberry Hill, or I can't remember, some kind of wine. Like, the girls would want to drink that. And then they would buy, what is that shit? It came in a giant 2-liter bottle. It was purple or red. I can't remember now. Just, like, the cheapest garbage you can buy. You know, just hang out with a bunch of people and party and have a good time.
You see, like, my drunk at work story is I was working as a stock boy at a supermarket when I was in my teens. I remember because I was asking when I first started, who is this FICA person and why are they taking all my money? But I was, you know, breaking down boxes and shit like that at this joint. And there was this one dude that was, like, I was a nerdy guy. He was kind of like a nerdy guy, too. He was taller than me, thinner than me, wore, like, Buddy Holly glasses and shit, though. You know, we palled around a little bit. I'd loaned him some graphic novels, the Martial Law, Fear and Loathing, The Dark Knight Returns, and never got him back. I remember he was the guy who introduced me to the concept of you need to use conditioner because your hair too frizzy. And also, he came into work one day, obviously visibly drunk and kind of belligerent. And I basically told him, you know, you need to go home, man. This is ridiculous. You got to get out of here. And he slapped me. And...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, across the face.
Wait, and then what's the song connected to this? Sorry.
Oh, it's not. This is just the preamble connected to what you did. So I immediately slapped him across the face back. And I remember it was the first time I'd ever done something involuntary like that. It's like, I didn't think about it. I wasn't like, oh. As soon as he slapped me, it was like Three Stooges, like, pat, pat. You know, as soon as he made contact with me, I was making contact with him. And then, like, we both, like, froze, and then he left. So that's the only, like, drunk at work story I can conjure up. And I wasn't the one who was drunk at work. I did not have as much fun in my work places as you did in yours.
Well, I think I'm with Frank, man. I look back on some of the jobs I had and I'm just like, man, I was way too uptight there.
Yeah.
Like, instead I was spending all my time stressing out about all these other people who didn't really seem to care, when really, when I look back on it, I should have not cared with them because that job wasn't worth caring, and I caused myself way too much stress and made way too many enemies probably by just trying to do my job too well. And I mean, maybe I'm programmed to take shit seriously. Unfortunately, it's shit that I shouldn't have been taking seriously. And, you know, looking back at it, I was like, man, dude, who would have cared? Who cared? Why did you care so much?
Who did I benefit? I benefited some bullshit
Now's
corporation.
The job where you care, and I do, but, like, why did you care then? That doesn't make any sense, but I don't know. Maybe it's just programming.
No, it's our programming.
Yeah,
I agree.
The people you're around, too, because, like I said, I don't know, but you're around a bunch of fuck-ups, too.
Well, like, but it's funny, because and Mr. Fixit is enjoying himself, and he's getting invited to parties. I don't remember anybody ever inviting me to an after-work party. Certainly not back in those days. So, yeah, I was the fucking uptight nerd who was doing a good job. Why the fuck was I doing that? I was such a fucking moron. I really wished I'd had a little bit more of Mr. Fixit's life instead of the one that I ended up with.
I just remember it was so much fucking fun. Like, now, I don't think kids could get away with that shit nowadays.
No. But. Well, for starters, I think they'd all be on camera. And so they get busted immediately for drinking on the job and showing signs of intoxication.
I mean,
and anybody who was an adult on the premises could get charged for them being drunk on the premises with them. There's just so much shit you can't do anymore, and I feel bad for the kids who can't.
I just remember, like, So I worked with this one guy, and I won't use his name. And one time, he was fucking nuts. This dude was crazy. And one time, he came in, and the manager told him, hey, your pants are dirty. You need to make sure, because we would wear black pants, black slacks. And, you know, you had to be semi. And so a lot of those dudes, man, they'd wear the same slacks over and over and over. So the food or whatever be crusted on them.
Mm.
And I remember she left, and this other woman said, yeah, those slacks are dirty. And she went to back. So he just took off his pants. He had his apron, and he's walking around, and he wore, like, these super tight, tidy whitey. If you didn't pay attention, you would have never known. He was wearing his tennis shoes. Because we wore aprons that went from our neck all the way down to like a little over past our knees. And the aprons kind of encompassed you a little bit because it got kind of messy. And I just remember I kind of looked at an angle. I'm like, is he wearing underwear? And my other buddy was like, oh, yeah, he's walking in his underwear. And dude, like, didn't give a shit, dude. I just remember thinking, that's so fucking cool, dude. Like, you don't have to give a shit. They didn't send him home. Some of the older women were scared of him because he was this is the dude that would, you know.
Come back at you at the workplace.
Yeah, today. I mean, he was, dude, this fucker was crazy. He would come to work drunk. I mean, he eventually got fired for beating up a customer in the parking lot.
Yeah,
but,
he was
the one that, like, he would be cool to hang out with. But once he started drinking, he would get kind of like an asshole. You don't want to hang out with him. But he was always down for whatever, like, you know, we're gonna go party, here's my money. He would just throw money in. He didn't care. He was cool in that sense, but it was fun.
Zay, you're out for a beer.
What do you have?
Beer.
What if there wasn't any beer?
Sorry, guys, never heard of it.
Oh, Zima.
Zima's good.
There you go.
What is this? No, just drink. Just drink.
Zima's a unique alcohol beverage.
Anything else?
Did you get pretzels? What day is this?
Morgan David has been making high-quality wines for 50 years, and now they invite you to try MD 2020, the naturally mellow wine. Made from the finest premium American grapes, it has the same great taste, but now with a great new look. Look for the pure, fresh fruit on the new MD 2020 bottle. Red MD 2020 is a pure grape wine. Big Apple is a pure golden apple wine. And Plum Supreme is a grape wine, red in color and flavored with plum and other natural fruit flavors. Its great taste can be enjoyed anytime, with friends, at a party, when relaxing at the end of the day, or just to celebrate life. It's a fine wine anytime. MD 2020 is a great wine and a lot of different drinks. Straight is great, chilled to perfection. The great taste of MD 2020 stands up on the rocks beautifully, or you'll be pleased how well it mixes. Pure, smooth MD 2020, the naturally mellow wine. Look for the fresh fruit on the label. MD 2020, a product of the Morgan David Wine Corporation, Chicago and Westfield, New York.
Have it your way.
America loves burgers, and we're America's Burger King. Oh yes, America loves burgers, and we're America's Burger King.
And another thing America loves is hitting the open road. And now Burger King makes seeing America as easy as having flame-broiled burgers done your way. Because Burger King restaurants in this area have a unique Burger King travel guide just for the traveler and you. Full-color maps of the 50 states plus 25 major city maps. Helpful suggestions on what to see in every state with free coupons good at Burger King and much more. It's a real road buddy, and it's just a dollar at participating Burger King restaurants. No purchase necessary, so be sure to visit a Burger King restaurant soon and pick up the unique Burger King travel guide and see how we make more than just burgers great at America's Burger King.
America loves burgers, and we're America's Burger King.
I wish I'd had more time to think about an appropriate song, but the one that came to mind in the time that we've got, I'm not going to get too much into the album because it's by Fiona Apple. She's one of my favorite singer-songwriters. I will certainly be going back to her repeatedly over the course of this series, and I will repeatedly go back to the album Win the Pawn, so I won't touch on them very much right now. It was released in 1999. The specific track I want to talk about, though, was an album cut that was never a single called A Mistake. I worked jobs when I was younger, throwaway jobs as a teenager, and then I started having long-term jobs after that. I spent 8 years between two comic shops. I spent another 3 years at the sex shop, relatively long-term gigs. And then when I left the sex shop, I started doing temp work. That was kind of an unfamiliar concept to me, to just like you would get moved from job to job. And over time, like sometimes the job would dry up on you. You'd only be there for a temporary period. Again, that's why it's temp work. And then you'd just be, okay, well, the job's done. Go do something else. And I went through a fuck ton of jobs as a temp. You guys remember I did this for several
I remember
years.
That. I remember that.
It was incredible, the number of jobs this dude had.
Yes.
Incredible. And because of your aforementioned work ethic, the temp agency loved the shit out of you.
Yeah.
So as soon as you're a temp, you maybe they'd immediately have you on another job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they kept me working because I was professional. I showed up every day that I was supposed to. I did good work. Most of the jobs were really happy with me. So often I would be the one who would be quitting. It's like, oh, well, I'm kind of tired of this. Want to go do something else. But like at least two of those temp jobs, they actually called the company back. And then the company representative would be like, I know you're on this job, but these people really want you to come back. And I never went back because of circumstances and just lack of desire. But one thing I did pick up, because those jobs came so easy, and especially the more jobs you work, especially in temp, especially in labor, the more they all kind of start to seem the same, is I didn't always want to quit the jobs. I didn't want to have to go through the trouble of giving notice and spending your 2 weeks and kind of shit. So one thing I noticed is what you could do is instead of quitting the job, you could just fuck up real bad. And if you fucked up real bad, instead of having to be gone in 2 weeks or whatever after giving notice, you could just be gone. They would like, okay, you can go home now. And I kind of like that. I like that ability to just be like, bye. And the temp agency is like, oh, well, that was bad, but here's another job for you. So I just keep working. So like one job in particular, I remember I was at this place where they pulled parts for industry, picked parts from this warehouse, and it was terrible. The guy who ran the place was this grouchy old white dude, and he had this slimy Mexican kid working for him. This kid was just like total gross, creepy dude, skinny, pedo mustache, one of these guys who was like totally trying to be a hard ass, like, get the work done, man. He was just always trying to ride people, but because he was a kid, he was younger than everybody else there, and because he was just such an obvious little weasel, nobody respected it. Nobody was going to want to do what he said. And being me, when I first started working there, I was really hustling, and he was very impressed. He's like, oh yeah, you're doing a great job. And then there was this one dude that showed up, middle-aged white guy, and he's just like, this sucks. What am I doing here? This is terrible work. And he was a chatterbox. And because I was, another white dude there, there weren't a ton of us, he kept wanting to talk to me. And at first I was like, you're really kind of slowing me down, man. I'm trying to get this work done. I can't keep chattering with me. But the more I talked with him, the more I realized, wow, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I hustling for this job, working so fucking hard? I'd pick up like a heavy part and it would slip out of my hand. It would smash my fingers and I'd have like blood blisters and I'd be trying to work with these blood blisters and shit. And this little weasel shit's fucking on our asses all the fucking time. It's like, why am I killing myself for this job? I was getting paid the same amount of this other job, which wasn't very fucking much. And I didn't have to hustle half as hard. Then I got on this kid's shit list because he's such a good worker. What happened? I wised the fuck up. And so I'm hating this job. I'm hating the long hours. I because we kept working like 12, 13 hour days. You know, we'd work right up until the UPS, I guess it was, would stop shipping. They'd pick up our shit and leave. That's when we would quit working. So I was supposed to be working like 8 hours, maybe 12 hours at most. It was bullshit. I hated it. I didn't do it for very long. And one of the things that we would do while we were working this job is we had what we called cherry pickers. And it was basically like a forklift, but it was designed where you'd put a pallet on it.
I've used them before, yeah.
Yeah, you lift it up like, 20 feet in the air. You'd pick up shit from like really high shelves and stuff. And so I'm running around this cherry picker trying to make shit. And the controls were on the forklift side of it too. So you would lift yourself up. And that element was kind of neat. It was kind of neat running around this warehouse with all these high shelves and grabbing shit. And, I was always like jumping up on shit without a harness and stuff, which today I look back on it like, what a fucking moron I was. In fact, one of the jobs I have, I actually have a little tiny bit of PTSD from. We were doing tile that was like tons. The shit would weigh tons. And so it would come in a shipping crate that had come over from some other country, and you'd open it up, and sometimes the shit would just be covered in like fungus and shit. The wood that was holding these giant slabs of tile together had mildewed. And so they're wanting us to go into these things, and we're breathing this fucking shit, which obviously isn't very healthy. And one guy in particular just totally like, I want nothing to do with this. I'm gone. And it was kind of a big deal because he just wouldn't even go into the damn thing. And so we'd be cutting these hunks of wood to extract this stuff with forklifts and cables. And you're just thinking while you're working on this shit, you'd like trying to like you start to saw something, and you'd kind of stop until it was enough to where you could go to the other side where it'd be safe. But I keep thinking while I'm in these things, man, if one of these things collapses on me, I'm either dead or in really bad fucking shape. And one particular instance, there was this dude who was learning how to work the forklift, and I was leading tile into one of the slots. We had like rows and rows of slots where we'd put this shit. One of the things you would do
were they like granite slabs?
Marble, a lot of it, because this was high-end tile for countertops and shit. And what you would do with a forklift is you'd bend the forklift backwards toward the forklift so that it could handle the weight of moving these tons of tile from place to place. And then once you got it into the slot you wanted to go into, you would let the forklift, like the forks would go forward, and near to another batch of tile, and then you'd slowly lower it into the slot. Well, this dude was still learning how to work a forklift, and for some reason, I would guess I was tired that day, I just sat there, had the tile roughly in place, kind of sat there. And then finally, he was taking a long time to do anything with it, so I looked around the corner, and after I looked around the corner, he finally brought the tile forward. Well, I realized what an idiot was. I was just standing there waiting for him to push the tile forward in front of the tile. Tons of tile. I'm between tons of tile. If the guy had been as big an idiot as I was, he'd have crushed my fucking skull like a grape. And so I think back on that, it's like, I could have either died or been rendered like mentally incapable for the rest of my life because I was groggy one morning. If this guy hadn't been sharper than I was, I'd be fucking dead or disabled. And what we'd also do is we'd have to load these hunks of marble onto the back of a 18-wheeler. So you'd have these two metal posts up, and then you'd run like these two wooden beams along those metal posts with chains. And so we'd be lowering these tiles onto the truck, and then we would have to hit the posts into position with crowbars and then strap the hunks of tile onto these posts so they could travel down the road safely. And so literally I'd be up, no harness or anything like that, with a heavy crowbar, and I wasn't a particularly big guy ever, although I put on a bit of weight while I was doing that. And I'm just running around whacking these poles and shit and whacking the beams to get them in place. It would have been so easy for either the tile to shift or for while I'm whacking it to lose my balance and fall and either hit the side of the flatbed or go down the full 15 feet and hit the ground. I'd have broke something. I didn't have any fucking insurance. I'd be relying on workers' comp. And one time I did get caught between two tiles while moving them, and I got some scar tissue from that. I didn't report it. In fact, I was written up for not reporting it. And I still have scar tissue to this day, and I don't know if it did some kind of damage to me. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just a permanent thing that's a part of my body now. You know, you work in these jobs where it's just not safe, where it's very dangerous, where I'm putting my life in peril, and I'm trying to have this kind of work ethic, and I'm being an idiot about it. So when I realized that when I was at a job like that and I just didn't want to be there anymore, instead of just quit, I'd just be like, I'd fuck up. So at that one job where I'm pulling the parts, I decided, you know what? We're in a hurry anyway. I'm going to try to take this cherry picker down a ramp. And I fucking totally fucking lodged the cherry picker onto this ramp. And it was just stuck. And I'm like, hey, boss, guess what I did? And he's like, this is ridiculous. You should know better than that. You just go home. We don't need you anymore. And I was like, good, deuce. I'm gone. Same thing happened at a job where I was working in steel.
Oh, so you quit.
I didn't quit. I was fired because I made a mistake. I was at another job where we were dealing with steel, bring boats along the bayou. And so we'd be working these cranes to pick up these giant rolls of steel. And or I think it was steel. My recollection is that it was steel. Maybe I'm misremembering and it was another metal. I don't know. But we lift up these gigantic rolls and then we'd take them into a plant. And then at the plant, you'd cut them into sheets. And you'd have to take those sheets with a crane and move them from place to place and shit. And at this particular job, everybody there was a fucking ex-convict, or at the very least they had their license removed because they were drunk driving and shit. So a lot of times they'd be on the job fucked up. They were talking about the fucked up shit they got up to, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? And it's gross and it's dangerous. But the main thing, I was okay with dealing with the cranes and shit, but when it came time to actually deal with the sheets, I never felt comfortable using those type of cranes, the little small cranes. And I kept picturing this particular setup, those sheets, just if they got loose from this crane, they're not on there very well, if they'd have just like slid forward and just started like kind of sliding like a deck of cards. I know it was heavy, so it'd probably come down flat pretty easily, but it'd been so easy. If it just slid the wrong way, it could chop my fucking head off or crush me under it, and these things are flying over my head at various points in time. I wasn't very happy, so I just told this guy, man, I'm about ready to quit this motherfucker. And this dude, who again was an ex-con, I think he misheard me as saying, I'm about to quit this motherfucker. Another foreman came up and said, you can go home. We don't need you right now. So I was like, okay, fine. And then I get home, and the job's calling me like, hey, why'd you walk off the job? I was like, I didn't walk off the job. I cursed at this guy about how I wasn't really happy with the job. They just told me to go home. It's like, okay, yeah, we've never heard about you walking on the job. You're always way more professional than that. It's like, yeah, I mean, I cursed, but I'm surrounded by convicts and we're all cursing all day long, so it wasn't outside of the scope of what we would normally do. I guess I made a mistake, and hey, I don't have to work at that job anymore. It was actually kind of nice. If you listen to the lyrics of the song, a major distinction between me and Mac and you. Your mom has always been on a career path. I love this. I'm passionate about this, and it's going to be making our money, and we're going to be okay. And your dad has a very stable career as well that he's been doing. He's an exemplar in his career.
My mom didn't. I don't think she loved her job. She did it because she had to support a family.
Right. But so. She was on that shit hardcore.
Yeah, no. Yeah, she doesn't.
My parents, yeah. My mother worked very irregularly. My stepfather drifted from job to job, often quitting. He'd get mad one day and just be off the job. It's like, oh, great. Now we get to scramble for the next few weeks until you get to your next bullshit job trying to make ends meet. And then even if I'd been with my father kind of drifted from job to job as well. Mac's mom made some career choices that were problematic for the family. And so I think both me and Mac, from an early age, we knew that we were kind of, if we weren't on our own, at the very least, we had to kind of step up and support the family because we didn't have that stability like that you had. And so where you could go to a job and actually kind of find yourself and your identity and have fun with shit, for us, it was was like, we gotta make this money, because if not, then somebody's gonna turn our lights out. Reinforcement.
Literally.
Yeah. Literally, often. So I think that's part of the reason why we were expressing regret that we didn't have fun on the job. It was because of the shit that we had to go through, because...
Well, you treated your job more like a necessity.
Right. Yeah, and
mine was just...
That was an instance where really got to be the normal person, and we got to be like the fucked up people who didn't...
But you gotta remember, in my house, if you wanted to work, it's because you wanted to buy stuff. My mom couldn't afford stuff.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to go buy stuff, well, then you need to go to work. So that's why... I mean, I worked even before that, before I even got an ID working ballparks, but it was like, if you want it, then go. You gotta go earn it. It's like, it's not gonna be given to you. Right. So, and now, granted, I didn't have to... I mean, I gave a little bit of money to pay some of the bills, but I wasn't like, you know, expected to pay any bill majorly. Well,
but that's the way it's supposed to be. As a teenager, that's the way it's supposed to be, is the basics are covered, and you were taught work ethic by, okay, if you want things, you got to go earn those things. You got to go make that money yourself. But I've got the main stuff covered, you know? Yeah. And so you could actually enjoy that, where me and Mac get to middle age before we finally start to go like, God damn it, we missed out on so much shit because we didn't know if everything was going to be okay if we didn't keep this job. In the case of this job, song in particular, the reason why I think it resonates is because so often in my life, knowing that I didn't have a backup plan, I didn't have necessarily a place to go if the shit didn't work out, it was hard for me to quit a job, especially in those early days, like the temp jobs. I mean, I never made a lot of money for most of those years. You know, I managed to make more money than I ever had in temping, roughly. I think I made some, because of commission sales, I was able to make some decent money at the sex shop, but I also ended up getting hit by taxes every year, so I'm not sure how well that all evened out. At least I knew that the taxes were covered when I was temping. But when you're temping, you know, sometimes you do have weeks where you're just, there isn't a job. And
was the tax form the 1069 you had to fill out at the sex shop?
I applaud. You had to go for that one. There'd be that war of wills where it's like, fuck it, this is just another fucking job. They're all about the same anyway. Who cares? I'm just going to drift from one job to another. This is my vacation time between these jobs. And I did try to make sure I had some money in the bank so that I could cover rent and things like that if I was going to go from one job to another job. But a lot of times I was so scared of the consequences of not having a job that I would put up with shit that I really didn't need to or didn't want to. And I'd want to quit. And instead of quitting, I would just get careless or just do something I knew was fucked up just to explode the situation, because I didn't have the balls to pull the trigger and just fucking, let's just do something different. But yeah, sometimes I would be full of the tick and I'd just be done with this shit. And it was easier to fucking break something than it was to man up and just say, look, I need to take responsibility. I need to go do something else besides this. And I love that phrase, unpave my path. I'm at a place in my life now where that's really not an option for me, because I finally do have a career. I finally do have a path where I really need to stay on the straight and narrow. I could jump to another job and stuff, but the option of like, oh, let's make a mistake and get fired over that, that's not an option with the kind of work I do. But the song definitely does resonate. I do like the idea, well, I'm going to fuck it up again and take another detour. And for a number of years of my life, that's what I was doing. And even though I get older and even though I can't unpave my path the way that I could back when I was listening to this song, it still resonates for that point in my life. And I definitely do sometimes feel that urge to unpave my path.
It was funny that you mentioned that, because that was something, you know, we were just talking about on Fix-Its, you know, how I would look back like, man, you know what, I should have loosened up. But you're right, that was the hindsight that I was forgetting, was that, oh, no, I needed that job because I needed it to help my family pay rent. Oh, that's why I was a little more uptight than I needed to be, because I was working for a bunch of people who had jobs because their parents made them go get jobs, because you're to learn responsibility and value of the dollar. So why don't you go get a job, kid? And they're like, okay, whatever. And they're there not giving a fuck. Whereas I'm there because I needed to keep the lights on.
Because you're driving a vehicle that's emitting carbon monoxide into the cabin.
Right. Or it was a shared vehicle. So I got dropped off that day. You know what I mean? And it's like, we got to make sure we all contribute to get the car payment paid this month, so we have a car to get to school in the next day. You're so far removed from that situation. I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I was uptight. That's right. That's why I didn't have more fun during school. It was because I was working over 40 hours a week and taking full loads in college. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's why I didn't have fun. Oh, that's right.
Gee, thanks for making me sound like the asshole now.
No. You had the normal life. We envy the life you had, but it wasn't an option for us. So like, part of it was like, wow, we were stick in the mud. You know, we were blaming ourselves. And I was thinking about it. It's like, nah, it was our situation. But we envy the shit out of what you got to do. So that you got to have the life that people should get to have. Teenagers shouldn't be responsible for supporting their families, but shit ain't ideal in anybody's life, you know?
Well, I just lucked out. I'm sure my mom had to contribute. I mean, when she was growing up, they were
poor. Yeah, but we're not trying to say you're like some trust fund baby. Just saying that you just had like a more typical, probably correct teenage years and your first job, et cetera, as opposed to what...
I don't know. I still think he had better... Like, even if I tried to follow his path, I don't think that I'd be getting laid to let's chill like he was doing. So some of it was just, he was a Mac, so. Nah, you're, I know you're fun. The Mac, but he was a Mac.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. There's room for two.
Go with the top 40 hits in the nation this week on American Top 40, the best-selling and most played songs from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood.
Big thanks go out to 1-8 Sage, Badich Pirak, Chris at Bad Books for Beginners, Christopher Bush, Dr. Ange, Dr. G Nerdologist, Ice in the Face, Into the Weird, Iowa's Joe Crawford, Jax Webb, Jeffrey Brown, Keith G. Baker, King Dinosaur, Chris Dottos, Longbox Crusade, Linnell Skaggs, Odell Abner Dracula, Randy Caldwell, Relatively Geeky, Ryan Daly, Sage, Biopunks, Wonder Woman Warrior for Peace Podcast, and Zach Sally.
One Song Each is a Rolled Spine Podcast. This is a not-for-profit fan production. Any copyrighted materials used is believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Please leave your comments and criticisms on our website. We especially encourage participation on this show. Feel free to call in and leave a request. Maybe you'll even get featured on the show. We thank you for your rapt attention.
American Top 40 is written and produced by Don Bastani. Statistics, Ben Marischal. Mixed by Bill Hergensen. Executive producer is Tom Rons. Well, this is Casey Kasem, and I hope I'll see you again next week. Can we count on it? Because we're going to count down the 40 most popular songs in the country.